The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior War have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
We are back for another week on Willow Talk. Mark War, Matthew Hayden, and no Graham Swan. By popular demand, no yes. Graham Swan.
He's been ousted.
So, Byron Cook over here trying to hold this show together. Adam Gilchrist replaces Swanee.
Yes.
Two of the best opening batsmen for Australia here, Gillian, Junior War.
Yep.
Well, it's AFL reference, but I've ripped the green vest off and I'm ready to go. I've come off the bench and I love the fact that there's no one that even looks, smells or tastes like an Englishman on this show.
It's going to be a busy show, boys. Obviously, look, and it might even, for this show, it'd be unusual, but take a slightly serious tone. I mean, you three have got a little bit to talk about, right?
Well, there's more fallout in Hiroshima, isn't there, really? It's just, it's just horrible. Just what Australian cricket has had to endure over the last couple of weeks.
Jesus, good Swanee's not here, like Trent Bridge.
Yeah.
The era that we were fortunate to play in amongst, I'd like to think we all get on pretty well, but rightly or wrongly, the public, I reckon now at the moment, are perceiving that there's a lot of sniping from within. Isn't there some comments here and there, and coaches,
and the
ex-teammates,
and the
wags
to play bad?
I don't know if it's that bad, but it's going to be interesting to talk about.
Yep. Mm. So we will. We'll do all of that. A lot of the usual segments are still there. I'm sure Mark Waugh will still struggle in our Stump Junior cricket trivia.
I'm good for three, I reckon, at least.
Tom, a tough quiz master, June. I've got the honours.
Hey, Gilly might be tougher than Swanee, though.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take that answer sheet away from him this week.
Oh, so no, don't do that.
He's fondling the desk again for that.
Here it is.
We'll see how that goes. A couple of great guests joining us. Australia's most prominent cricket writer, Robert Crash Craddock. He'll have plenty to say, as always.
Scoop.
That's in the second hour of the show. Andrew Simons. This is going to be entertaining.
Oh, legend.
Roy.
Roy and Haydos, Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, we should get rid of you, June. I reckon you're the common denominator in the show. Square the blue baggers up and just bring a couple of them around. Mighty Maroon in there.
He's a blue bagger too, don't worry.
All right, calm down. Hey. Roy in the second hour of the show. And up next, Michael Kasparovich will join us. So that's
another Queenslander.
We're dissecting with
he's
the Queenslander.
He's your boss, mate. He might make you know, call the arms a bit. So, board director.
That's coming up next. Very interesting. So his formal role again, Haydos, just to confirm. For those who are unfamiliar,
he is an Australian board director, Michael Kasparovich.
Like you were for about 3 minutes and got the chop.
2 years, Jumbo, and I didn't see you on the selection panel. Wouldn't have had any bar of that. Don't worry about that.
Haydos.
Oh, boy. Haydos took the money in the BBL. He couldn't be a director in play.
Show me the money.
Let's play a song. Let's get out of here. We'll come back with Michael Kasparovich on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, Adam Gilchrist sitting in for Graham Swan. How awesome is that? Not having Swanee here to boast about everything.
Well, it's been magnificent.
Oh, yeah,
beautiful.
It's been great.
Sure, our next guest will confirm that as well.
Oh, he'd love that Swanee isn't here. He is the director on the board of Cricket Australia, the ex-president of the Australian Cricket Association. 38 tests, 113 wickets, 7 for 36 against England. Thank you very much. The Oval 1997. Mm. It is Michael Kasparovich. Casper's on the line, guys.
Casper, hey. How you going, champion?
How are you, fellas?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. 2005, Casper, and now 10 years later, 2015, board director. Shockwaves, are they hitting the board of Cricket Australia in those deep and dark cloakrooms out the back where the smelling of misty cigars and the laughs of chortle? Is there any panic? What's happening there, Mick?
A fresh smell of mahogany, too. in answer to your question, one of the things that I have actually found in the 4 years that I've been on the board of Cricket Australia and around it is that it's incredible how winning seems to solve everything.
Yeah, definitely,
And obviously when you lose, you start digging deep. And often the further you dig, the more you find.
Yep.
And we felt that. I also remember after 2005, there was reviews and player reviews and then and all that. But I think this time round, ultimately, the team, and as a former cricketer, it was pretty obvious that we just didn't adjust our skills to suit conditions, both bat and ball. Mm. You don't need to dig too deep.
So the selectors are safe, Casper. That's what you're saying? Thank you.
I hold your horses.
Oh. Yeah. Oy! Yeah, that's it. He's only just started to load the barrel, Junior. Don't worry. It's cocked and ready.
I don't want to say it was just a bad performance, a bad day. It was a horrific day. That's all out for 60, day one. But, you know, we all know, boys. There's been plenty of times when, you had bad days. It was just unfortunate. It happened to be when the series is in hand.
Hey, Casper, you just spoke about the batting. What about the bowling stocks in Australia? What have you made of the fast bowlers in the UK so far in this series? And who else have we got around Australia that's impressed you recently?
Yeah, well, there's actually stacks, Junior, because you've got James Pattinson, who's coming back. I love his action. Everything's tight. And you'll see a far better version, more consistent version, when we do see him again. There's a lot of really talented players. Like I love watching young fast bowlers come to scene, and Pat Cummins. You know, seeing young guys coming in bowl fast, bouncy 140k an hour outswingers is pretty sensational to watch.
The swing bowling, Casper. We saw the Poms. Their bowlers actually swung the ball both ways. And is that something missing in Australian cricket? Real genuine swing bowlers.
And I'll be honest, this is my personal opinion. I reckon the worst thing that's happened, the thing that's costing the players, is the speed game, because there's been a real attention put on the speed of bowling. Mm. You've got to be 150k an hour. That's what we need now. And the art of swing bowling, or the art of fast bowling. Dennis Lilly, that was my Bible as a kid growing up. You know, it's talked about swinging the ball. It talked about all the variations to it. And not simply just a pure, you know, data number spat out of a speed gun. We've lost a bit of that art. And then even the young guys coming up, there's not a focus on that with our performance, I suppose, or what we've been after and searching for is out and out pace.
All right, now, Michael Kasperich is our guest, director on the board of Cricket Australia, president, well, ex-president of the Australian Cricketers Association. But, of course, 38 tests, 113 wickets, and let's just go back to 2005 for a moment. He's given out caught behind after a 59-run partnership with Binger. This is at Edgbaston, where we ended three short of victory. Let's just have let's go back down memory lane.
Jones! The man to go, and Harmison has done it. Despair on the faces of the batsmen and joy for every England player on the field.
Oh, now Casper, the cliffhanger, when you come back, did you or did you not hit that ball? Don't answer right now. Well, you could make some noise. I mean, when I say don't answer, you could say, okay, I won't answer. Either way.
Casper. Fair enough. I was waiting to hear the ad start kicking in.
Casper,
must admit, so was I, Cap.
Oh, how good are we going this week? Casper is going to hang around with us, though. This is Willow Talk with Junior Gilly filling in for Swanee and Haydos. Well, we left you with a bit of a cliffhanger here on Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Adam Gilchrist filling in for Graeme Swann and all Aussie Willow Talk. We've got Michael Kasperich on the line, guys. Casper, we played the audio back to 2005 where Casper was given out caught behind after a 59-run stand with Brett Lee at Edgbaston. Three runs short of victory.
It's painful. I said that was a great test. And Junior said, oh, how could it be a great test if you lost? But it was a great test, wasn't it?
We'll call it memorable. Let's just play we'll play the dismissal.
Good word.
Jones! Harmison has done it. Despair on the faces of the batsmen and joy for every England player on the field.
Now, Gilly, because you barely got a word in the last segment, mate, do you want to ask the million-dollar question to Casper?
I'm still wiping the tears away. That hurts to hear that again. Casper, I don't want to ask whether you hit or not. Why didn't you glance at fine for four? That's what I want to know.
Well, what happened was instinct, mate. Instinct and takes the hands up to protect your head, I guess, and this ball seemed like it reared out of nowhere. But you're right. If it had a bit more glove, it would have gone over the top, but it didn't. It could hit the glove straight on, could hit me in the head. It would have been a far better result for cricket. It glanced the right hand.
It was on the handle, though.
If hotspot would have been used, back then. And it wasn't. It was the only series, I think, that calendar year that wasn't used. It would have been... Hotspot would have picked up the right result because Hotspot would have picked up that my right hand was actually off the bat at the time. And Law 34.1 MCC Laws of Cricket, you know, yes, that's the case.
And Borney admitted the same thing.
Yeah.
It was a long answer, but you didn't hit it. We should have won. And Bob would have been your uncle in that series, I reckon. Jumbo?
Well, yeah, it could have been the case. Well, let's see. That was the part. I actually had an Indian bloke when I was in India doing some stuff. Got to me and he thanked me though. He said, Casper, thank you so much. You have saved Test cricket.
Oh, right. I just had saved his bank account as well. He might have been out of coin on it. A bit of a dabble.
But he said, and this makes sense because he said, oh, look, you saved Test cricket because some Australia would have been 2-0 up in the series, would have gone on, won the series, then Test cricket would be dead.
Yeah, sick of winning we were.
Casper, I want to talk about your sweating. You are a famous sweater.
Profusely sweats.
What about that game in India up the north there where it was about 180 degrees in that big cement stadium? Where was that at?
Guwahati.
Cochin, that's it. Cochin.
Close, June.
How much did you sweat in that game? Tell us about it.
That particular tour, that was 1998, wasn't it?
Yeah,
It was 98. I lost 8.5 kilos of body weight, I reckon, in the month we were there.
And 4.5 off the tum.
That was horrible, that trip, because I remember on the bus on the way home, I think Punter spewed up on the bus.
Yeah,
yep. Mardo did. Who else did? Gilly? There was,
Shane was Lee, he nearly died, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, Bick was there too.
He could have lost 9.5. He should have lost 9.5 kilos.
But you're right, though, that the good old days, Tommy Moody went to the sponsors function, which was Foster's. He went there and drained about 8 cans, so he was from the old school.
Michael Kasserich, we before we let you go, mate, and I don't know if this will link to the Indian experience at all, but we do ask players about their quirky preparation habits. This is our Flight Centre question of the week. Be prepared and book early at flightcentre.com.au. So it is about preparation.
Pretty straightforward, Cass, I reckon.
Did he have any unusual preparations? How did you go there, Casper?
Actually, coming back to the sweating part, was cramping. I meant to make sure that you're well hydrated before you actually play the games, which once I understood that how it worked, it meant that I was up at least half a dozen times going to the bathroom than before.
Now, so Casper, obviously a busy boy, but we do need to go. Obviously, he holds down the position there. He's actually probably walked out of a meeting to be with us there on the board of Cricket Australia.
Big shot these days.
And so you can confirm Junior is safe. That's what I want to make sure.
Thanks, Casper.
I just went with a popular vote, so
Excellent. Chairman of selectors. Everyone's having a good look at all of it. Everything's on blocks. Thank you so much. That is Michael Kasperich. On Willow Talk, thanks for your time, Casper.
Pleasure, guys. Good to catch
you. Mick.
Nice one.
Up next, guys, we're going to stump Junior Adam Gilchrist in the absence of Graham Swan. Has the questions, the cricket trivia questions, and will Junior improve is the big one. That's the question.
I'll be there or thereabouts, I reckon.
I like Gilly's chances here.
Okay, it's coming up. Stump Junior on Willow Talk. On Willow Talk, it is time for Stump Junior. Mark Waugh faces cricket trivia questions normally from Graham Swan, but we've booted Swanee off the show post-Ashes. Thank God for that. Gilly is sitting in, Adam Gilchrist for Graham Swan. Matthew Hayden's here as well. So, Gilly, you've got your questions ready to go. 5 questions, and his batting average is around about the 2.9 mark over the last 6 or 7 weeks.
Give or take. It's higher than that, actually.
A couple of tough ones here, June. We'll get started. We saw young Michael make a century on debut.
Clark theme. Sorry, Michael Clark theme.
I was there in Bangalore.
Yeah, so was I. I was actually at the other end of the wicket when he scored that. So how many test centuries did he end up with?
How many test centuries has Michael Clark got? Gee.
To this point, given that he will have another chance.
More than you. More than me, yeah. He's got more than me. Averaging double, just under 50 at the moment.
Double
what are you talking about? I'm going to go 27.
Got him, yes.
No, you're wrong. Are you joking?
No, you're off to a poor start.
You're one off.
27?
It was 28.
June.
27th test match 100 might have been one of his best where he had got beaten pillar to post by Mornay Morkel, but that was over in South Africa. And then he got number 28 in tribute to his late friend Phil Hughes. So 28 he's sitting on. He does have that opportunity in the last test match of this series to get up to 30, perhaps.
I like his chances. There we go.
But anyway, righto, question number 2. Around our Michael Clark trivia. How many times has Pup won Player of the Series in Test cricket?
No hope. You're no hope. This is good, Gil. This is a very solid start.
Softest star. You make him look stupid.
Don't do all the umming and ahhing for 2 minutes. Just lock in an answer.
Don't we have to
get a bit of a drum roll?
Okay, here it is.
Do you want just to say a number?
Wrong answer.
Seven. Haven't got a clue.
Got him, yes.
Oh, no.
5-2. I like this.
Well, how much? How many was it?
Five. Everyone knows.
Did you turkeys know that, Haydos?
No, I didn't. But it's not my competition, mate.
Righto, we've got to move along. Because I'm enjoying this. 0-2.
I'm struggling.
Question three. Oh, you should know this. This is every batsman's favourite ground. On which ground has Michael Clarke scored the most hundreds in his test career?
It will be somewhere in Australia, won't it? We know that. So
The most hundreds for Michael Clarke
in his test career. Oh, I reckon it's,
you might have dined out there a few times yourself,
June, how many do you get
in Adelaide?
You reckon it's Adelaide?
I reckon it's Adelaide. I'm going to go Adelaide.
Oh, beautiful.
Correct.
How many, did you get a couple of hundreds there? Or what?
I did get a couple of hundreds there. I got 100 against the Poms, 100 against South Africa.
And the big mud flap down the back of the Albion C&D helmet.
Oh, yes.
Righto. Well, you're one from three. I reckon get the last one. But we're up to question four. This will be the one that really works out whether you're top your average of 2.9. How many times has Michael Clarke won the Allan Border Medal? Cricket's big night of nights.
Huge night.
It's a big number. Haydos,
you won the AB medal, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, only once. Gil, how many did you do?
Just one. Just one for me.
I got beaten a short half head by my twin brother 1 year.
And June, remember you used to always say, Junior, in your own player vote, when in doubt, give yourself one point. I beat you by 1 point that year. You're guilty.
There is some justice.
So come on back to
anyway,
this.
Anyway, how many times? Michael Clarke, how many times?
And it wouldn't have been more than a handful. That's too many.
No.
I'm going to go four.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. Oh, you're guilty.
Yes.
Yep. Got him.
Yes. Right. We're all even. 2-2. No. So
getting my average
into that. Question number five. Michael Clarke, his highest test score.
Yep.
Easy. 329.
Easy.
Who was
Thanks
that
for
against?
Coming, Gilly. That is against India at the SCG.
Oh, beautiful.
Solid.
Look at that. He's back.
Nice work.
He wins.
I'm back. I am back. Ordinary start. We've come home with a big
one. Congratulations.
Thanks, Gilly. Thank
good
you.
On you.
The
good
average
on you,
lifts slightly to 2.99. So well done. You've moved up in the world there, Junior. Well done. And coming up, some special guests aren't far away, including Robert Crash Craddock, prominent cricket writer, and Andrew Symons isn't far away either, so that should be entertaining. Mm. And up next, tell me something we didn't know. It's where all three of you guys will tell us cricket fans a little story, something that we just won't believe happened. And the most revealing story is the carryover champion for the week. Good luck. It is coming up on Willow Talk.
Yeah, good stuff.
Can't wait.
You're listening to Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden. Adam Gilchrist is here for the whole show. Graham Swan is nowhere to be seen, and doesn't it feel good? Because
it does.
After what happened, we just couldn't handle him hanging around for the week, so he'll be back next
Painfully
week.
Painfully, it'd be.
Byron Cook over here. This is where I have to play judge, boys, because it's time for Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. And this is where you three, as cricketers, share with us, the fans, a story where we go, oh, my God, no way. Seriously? How could that have ever happened? And the most revealing story wins. But just don't get us sued, because that is fairly expensive. Yeah. We will start with our special guest, Adam Gilchrist.
Yeah, well, I'll fire away. I can't wait for the Hayden story about the Godfather, AB, but that'll be interesting. But I'll kick it off, guys. We know that autographs and selfies nowadays, they seem to be more popular than the good old autograph, but they can be deemed by some people as a bit of a pain in the backside to have to do, particularly out at dinner. But I reckon it's a little bit of karma coming back to bite me from my school days. So I got no drama signing an autograph, because at school I used to sign my autograph and hand it out to my fellow students and say, hang on to it, I'm going to be famous one day. It's a bit sad.
Bloody big head.
It's true, but it's sad. But anyway, it goes on a little bit further. So not only was I a bit of a big head, but I was waiting to bat one day at the SCG, you know, the little balcony out the front there, and on the right-hand side of the members there, the public can sort of come up and stand down there and heckle and, yell out. A guy came up and said, Gilly, remember me? And we worked out we went to school together. And he said, remember at school you used to write those autographs out? And I said, oh, yeah, come on, mate. I'm waiting to bat here in a test match. I've got to focus. Don't lead me down that path. And anyway, in his pocket, in a plastic bag, he opened it up and he had this original scrap bit of paper with the autograph on it. Yeah.
Fair dinkum.
He looked up at me and he said, you wanker.
Oh, I gave it to you.
He drove it into me. I said, mate, you
were right.
It. Anyway, but yeah. But anyway, that's something you might not have known about me.
Did you tell him to pee off, ping off, or what?
Yeah, I said, mate, you hold on to it. I can sign it again if you want. But
anyway. All right, Haydos, you're batting it too. That's a solid start from Gilly.
Solid. Well, I mean, into another pointless story here. this is about team dynamics. And in '93, our captain was Alan Border. And he was big on just following the rules. And, you know, this week I had a bit of a crack at Pup, you know, about his baggy green. And I guess it's all about learning in the culture. And AB was big on that, really big on it. And, June, I don't know if you remember in '93, we had two coloured tracksuits. And there was a white tracksuit
and a green one,
and a green tracksuit. And as soon as the match had finished, AB would announce to the squad that tomorrow's warm-ups were going to be in one of those two colours.
Oh, I'm nervous, of course, for you already, Haydos. Yeah. It's not your strong suit, this.
As you know, Gilk, it's definitely not a strong suit. The attention to detail is just not there for me on this sort of stuff. I'm consistent, but I do have an excuse, like all players have got an excuse. June, you used to blame your bats.
You got an excuse.
Yeah, someone else's fault for sure.
Exactly.
So my excuse was I'd go out to the nets and I'd be practicing away, and then I'd have to rely on idiots like yourself to go tell me, you know, exactly what AB said at the team gathering. Of course you didn't, and I'd rock up the next morning consistently over a four-day tour match against Middlesex at Lords, consistently with the wrong tracksuit. Well, day four, AB lined me up. I came out through the old pavilion down onto the ground, and he stormed up towards me and says, mate, you get this effing wrong again and you'll be on the first plane back to Australia. That's how we learn, though, isn't it?
If it would have been the white one at Lords, though, wouldn't it?
White. It was only white.
And you were a dope. You wore the green, didn't you?
Correct.
Clint Eastwood movie, white. Heartbreak Ridge. Same thing happened all the time. That was you, Haydos. Every time.
Anyway.
All right, June.
Well, mine's we've got the Oval Test match coming up, so my little story's about the Oval Test match. Anyway, in 2001, we were going pretty well. We were giving the Poms a touch-up, as usual, in those days.
Yeah.
And the Poms had gone through about 50 players in that series, and the last test they picked a guy called James Ormond. I think he only played the one test too.
Yeah, I think you're right.
A dark-headed guy who's got little nude nuts, little away swingers.
And then a few offies to the lefties.
Yeah, that's right. I think he might have played club cricket at Sydney Uni. And anyway, he came into bat and I was fielding it, silly mid off. I think Warney was bowling and I might have said, who's this bloke? Never seen him, never heard of him before. He won't last long, surely. Just along those lines. Nothing too harsh, just a general dismissed welcome to the Test Match Arena. Anyway, when I went to bat, he was bowling at me. And at the end of the over, he walked past me. He said, I don't know how you can sledge me. He said, you're not even the best cricketer in your family.
Solid work from Ormond.
So James Ormond wasn't much of a player, but he was had a good sense of humour, actually. Yeah.
You know, if it was best punchline, I reckon Junior would have definitely has won that.
But I didn't know we were rolling out all of our sporties, though, like our favourite sporty skills.
You know, that's just a funny story.
Let's tell you something you didn't know.
Yeah, the segment is telling me something we didn't know. And
Tugger's book, probably one of his books.
How much money have you made out of telling that story, June?
It's in Tugger's diary, Ash's diary.
Outstanding.
How much money is Tugger made out of?
That's a fair call, though, June. Is that harsh or fair?
Okay.
Well, guys, look at the stats, Gilly, I suppose. There's not much between us.
It's time for judging.
An average of 10.
Haydos.
One day cricket doesn't come into it, first class cricket.
No, kidding.
Not 10, actually. Not 10.
Are you kidding? Are we still having this conversation? All right. Haydos lined up by AB over his incorrect tracksuit selection. Was an enjoyable story and definitely one we didn't know. But I've got to say, if it's about revealing yourself and really giving, I reckon our guest Adam Gilchrist, the self-confident teenager offering autographs to his schoolmates. That's outstanding. You're a winner.
Well done, Gilly. That'll get you good next vision. Thank you.
Anyway, great work from Adam Gilchrist. Coming up, some entertaining guests, most notably Andrew Symons. Roy is not far away.
Roy the boy.
On Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Andrew Simons is our guest later this hour. That should be fun. It is Willow Talk. Mark Waugh, Graham Swan ain't here, and that's by choice. Adam Gilchrist sitting in for Swanee post our loss in the Ashes. We thought that was a good idea, and Haydos is here as well.
But how much better is he?
Oh,
I mean, seriously.
It's just refreshing, isn't it?
It's just gold, isn't it?
Length of the straight.
Gilch,
better.
The vice-captain.
Guys, coming up next, Board obviously, cricket writer Robert Craddock is going to join us, Crash Craddock, and he's got lots to say about the composition of a new-look Australian team, but I know you'll all have something to say. We're going to pick a new Australian test team, aren't we?
Finally get something out of Junior.
What about you, big fella?
He's been passing the buck Buzz ever Lightyear. Since we got on the show.
I want to see you pick a player.
At least Rodney Marsh, he jumps on his sword, doesn't he?
Anyway, I mean, keeping in mind, Junior is part of the four-man selection panel for the Australian cricket team, so it should be very interesting picking a new Australian test team soon on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk, Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh, and Adam Gilchrist. Gilly is here for Graham Swan, who we have banished for a week.
Gone.
Oh, he's gone.
And stay out.
Quiet. Yeah. It feels so right, doesn't it? Anyway,
it does. It does feel right.
On the line, one of Australia's most prominent cricket writers of news.com.au, it is Robert Crash Craddock on the line, Gilly.
Yes, Crash, how are you going? I thought I'd fire in and say welcome. It's about time. It was a matter of time, really. I started to take over this show in my first guest appearance. But Crash, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here, boys, and it's great to hear your voices.
Yeah, well, interesting times, Crash. We saw some strong comments all around, both supportive and slightly against Michael Clarke and his departure from the team. And big calls were written up about John Buchanan, just talking about culture of Baggy Green under Pup's watch. And I believe that was in an interview that you conducted, was it?
It was indeed, Gilly, and John was between meetings. He didn't have very long, but he was very concise in what he said and you know, deliberate. But what I will say this, it wasn't deliberate, delivered with a viperous edge to it. It was just a matter-of-fact observation. He just felt that, look, he actually mentioned you. He said the culture that Gilchrist and Hayden and Langer built within the team.
What about Junior?
I know it. He mentioned
it goes without saying, Hayden.
Deliberately. Yeah. So that's significant, isn't it? But was just eroded under Michael Clarke. It was a different world. You could tell that he was not misquoted in any way. It was what he said and genuinely. And I've got to say this. I would defend his right to have an opinion. No, he didn't play test cricket, but you boys all know he was in that dressing room for about 9 years, and I think that qualifies him to at least say something on it.
So, mate, what you're saying really is that Warnie came out and vehemently went against John Buchanan. So what are you saying? He's wrong and Buck's right.
The only surprise about Warnie was that it took 3 days to come out. That's the only surprise.
When he said it, Haydos, it took us back, when you're talking Buchanan and Warne feuds, to that magnificent moment that we mentioned in the book, when Buck said at the training camp, was there anyone got any observations? And Warnie said, just the three. I'm fat, I'm unfit, and I want to go home.
But, Crash, I mean, there's lots of rumblings. I mean, the selectors, surely, you know, they've got to take some ownership. Pat Howard. You know, who do we go to? I mean, as fans, we're all hurting. I mean, we've got Junior right here on wood. But
yeah, look at him right there.
All right, big mouth, Haydos. Okay.
Where are we going?
You put your selector's hat on right now. Who would you have in the team that wasn't in England? Come on.
Well, we're
on Smarty Pants. Let's
I'd
hear it.
The first thing I do, and to me, it's one of
I didn't ask
the most
you, Crash. I asked Haydos. Shut up, Crash, for a minute. I'm asking Haydos. Who would you have in the team that was not in the team? Come on.
No, I'm interested in hearing what our chief sports writer had.
Good answer. All right.
We've got plenty of time to discuss
Back to you, Crash.
Well, the first thing that I would do is not actually a person promoted to the team. My big push was I'd make Nathan Lyon vice-captain. And I say that because, to me, he embodies so much of what is good about Australian cricket and so much of where it wants to go. I remember Jeff Marsh when Australia was in absolute turmoil of the mid-1980s. They went to a country boy who put the team first as vice-captain, and that's where it all starts. And that's why no one's talking about Nathan Lyon as vice-captain. To me, he's the standout choice, much smarter than people give him credit for.
But what happens if you're playing on a green top, Crash, and you don't need a spinner? What happens then?
Do you know what? you choose, and we always talk about four quicks. Do we ever actually play four quicks? But if you did have to drop him, Mark, no big deal. Get another vice captain for the game. He'd cop that and he'd be back next game. It's not the same as dropping your captain. But I think he's the guy. Who's the guy who's going to be, and this is a role I often felt that when Adam Gilchrist, you retired, it was one of your biggest vacuums, getting around, having a beer with the bowlers, working out how they're going. Why do the batsmen get it all? Like, why can't you have... Ray Illingworth was a great captain. Richie Beno, a great captain. Mm. He's the behind-the-scenes man who would have the captain's back. He would have Steve Smith's back, and you would have it all the way. I feel very strongly... That's my one...
But that's got nothing to do with what's happened in the Ashes.
Oh, I think it's got everything to do. You know, it's called dressing room support, and it's sort of... We're planning the road forward, aren't we, for the life beyond the Ashes, and I think that's a crucial appointment.
Yeah, Crash, I agree it's time to start not so much looking for who to blame game for what's happened, but looking forward, and you've got as good an eye as anyone across the young talent around the Australian team, Australian domestic setup. You've made the point about the vice-captaincy. I think it's a very, very valid point.
I'm going to put that in my players? Little black book, actually.
Yeah, Junior.
Thanks, sound Crash.
Like genius at there. The next selection meeting. But who do you see getting into the team? And not so, I mean, there's the touring party that's there for this test, but we're looking to Bangladesh and the Aussie summer coming up.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it, Gilly? I mean, I think Joe Burns is the last guy out. Sort of hat is worth looking at again. There's a little bit of push on for Usman Khawaja, but, he'll find his way in there. Bancroft, everyone, Ricky Ponting rates him, so that's a good tick. And do you know what? Oh, look, I saw someone pushing for Michael Clem, but at 35 years old, I think Max's chance is probably gone. I remember back in the mid-1980s, Bob Simpson made this comment when Australia was in turmoil. He said, any district batsman is six innings away from playing for Australia. Three centuries for your club, three for your state, and you're in contention. And everyone laughed, but this is the sort of summer when it might actually be true. You could have a guy playing club cricket, goes boom, boom, boom in the state team, three centuries in a row. You reckon Mark Waugh wouldn't be looking at him, Mark? I know you would be. So it is that open, and it's quite exciting, I think.
Well, some thoughts there from Robert Crash Craddock, one of Australia's most prominent cricket writers. Thanks for your time, Crash. And up next, actually, seeing we have one of the selectors in the studio here, Gilly and Haydos, as well as you two, I'm sure, have opinions.
Put the heat on him.
We can discuss this, Junior. Some young guns.
Good. I've got a few names written down on paper here, so we can talk about that. And the boys, Gilly and Haydos, they'll throw their two bobs worth in. I'm sure we can pick a pretty good side here.
Oh, nice. All right. We'll do that next on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh, Adam Gilchrist for Graham Swan and all Aussie Willow Talk this week. And it feels good.
We definitely like it, Cookie. I mean, this is what it should be all about.
Well, I'm glad he's not on after our performance at Trent Bridge anyway.
Right, yeah, no, it would have been absolutely unbearable.
Singing, wouldn't he? Absolutely singing.
Starting Byron to wonder why you blokes hadn't called me from the start of the series.
Well, we did, but you're a big head and we couldn't get you, so we thought we'd get the softer option.
And I'm below Swanee.
Now, guys, anyway. Byron Cook over here, we wanted to get all of your views. We heard from Robert Crash Craddock, prominent cricket writer. He had a few views going forward for the Aussies, but of course, Haydos, we've got one of four selectors as
usually,
the co-host.
Cookie, usually we ask Junior this question, he goes, man, I'm not too a selector, and then he throws poor old Bacchus Marsh under the bus.
Yeah.
But he's actually, Bacchus, to a good, true Bacchus style, has actually fallen him on his own sword. But Junior, are you prepared for that today? That's the question that Willow Talk has to ask.
I can answer some of your questions, Haydos. What have you got for me, mate? I did put the pressure on you.
Well, we're looking
not
for
long
a new
ago.
Captain.
You couldn't come up with someone to put in the team, but
well, I'm not a selector, mate. You're the man. If I want to be selector,
okay, fire away. I'll see what I can do without giving too much away.
Go, Gil.
I'll get into it. We've seen the one-day team for this particular tour. Mm-hmm. They play, I think, five one-dayers now.
Yeah, 5 one-dayers. Right.
And one against Ireland, if I'm not mistaken. But
correct,
mate. We saw seven changes to a World Cup winning squad. For this particular, we've had two forced with Pup and Hads retiring from that format.
And Faulkner as well, that's three because of his ban.
But any indication there as to where the future lies in either, well, obviously in one-day cricket you like these guys. Could someone like Marcus Stoinis, could he feature in test cricket down the track?
Yeah, look, I think he definitely can, Gilly. He's a bit of a left-field selection for a lot of people because if you don't watch Shield cricket, you probably wouldn't have heard of him that much. But he's a very talented player, Marcus Stoinis. He was originally from Western Australia and then he's moved to Victoria. But he whacks the ball, hits the ball very, very hard. I think he averaged nearly 50 in Shield cricket last season, 49, I think was his stats. He bowls quite a heavy ball. He's a good fieldsman. So, he's a good package. And, I think you know, that sort of player, you know, is a bit of a gamble, but he's very talented. We've got a lot of talented players in Australia. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you look at some of the batsmen, you've got Joe Burns, Usman Khawaja's come back from knee surgery.
Well, he's just on Joe Burns then, what about, is he the long-term number three then? Is he? Do you think Smithy's our long-term number three, June?
Well, he's a very good player, Steve Smith. You know, I suppose his technique at the moment, people are questioning it, but he did get, you know, what did he get at Lord's? 190-odd? I think he wants to bat three.
Yep.
So I'm not saying no. I mean, Joe Burns is a very versatile player. He's batted six when he's played for Australia in Test cricket. He bats at the top of the order for Queensland. Yep. Yeah, he could slot in at three or open. Maybe, I mean, there's a young guy called Cameron Bancroft. Gilly, you've seen a bit from Western Australia. He's making very good inroads, played really well on the Australian A Tour of India. So he's another one there. You've got Travis Head from Adelaide. Callum Ferguson's a very good player.
A bit older, though, as well.
A little bit older, Callum, yes. Yep. That's true. Yeah. Look, I think age, you get a bit carried away with it. You know, I think if a player's hungry and fit, I don't think age really comes into it.
But if you talk to someone like Greg Chappell, June, he'll say, mate, age is absolutely key. You play your best cricket between sort of 19 and 26, 27. So, and I completely disagree with that, by the way.
Yeah, I missed a test career if that was the case.
Yeah, so I don't agree with that. I think players are a lot fitter these days, and if you're hungry and you've still got the attitude, then I don't think age has got anything to do with this. If the bloke's 14, I'd pick him if he was good enough, or if he's 44. But obviously, if you've got to get the right balance between looking to win the next game and then looking to the future a little bit. So there's a balance there, but you know, age is something you look at, but I think performances and, you know, is the most important thing.
What about, interesting, the wicket-keeping position? Obviously controversial from outside the setup about the Hads-Neville scenario, but you've gone with Matty Wade for the one-dayers. Is that sort of cut and dried now for a year or two, or is that just open to interpretation as it all unfolds?
Yeah, look, he's picked for the next series, which is 5 one-dayers, but Matty Wade's... you know, we know what he can do. He's a very capable batsman. He can, you know, he's a good hitter anywhere in the top six. His keeping has been pretty good in recent times. So he's, you know, I think he's an excellent player. There's other guys lurking, isn't there? I mean, Sam Whiteman from Western Australia, you'd have seen a fair bit of him, Gilly. He's a good young player. Probably didn't have the best season last year, particularly with the bat. But, you know, I think there's genuine depth in most areas, and the keeping spot is one where there is some depth.
I reckon we've got some good thoughts there from Junior going forward. Obviously, we've got another test in England with the existing squad, but that was, you know, no one blamed Junior for everything that happened then. I thought everyone was very fair and reasonable.
Nah. Yeah, well, right.
Well, we're a sensible panel. Yeah,
we're not normally, but very delicate situation.
Yep.
Selector's role.
Coming up next, we're looking forward to this. Roy, Andrew Simons is our guest.
Another Queenslander.
And can we just, very quickly, Gilly, let's just quickly listen to some of his fine work from earlier in the week on the Today Show. Just some outstanding analysis from Andrew Simons. Have a listen.
You know, and hopefully we can bounce back in this last game and draw things up, because we certainly don't want to see him go down to England here.
Looking forward to more
ding,
of that.
Ding, ding.
More where that came from. Coming up with Andrew Simons on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh, and Adam Gilchrist is sitting in for Graham Swan. It's an all Aussie affair by our choice.
Yeah, we got rid of him.
Swan's literally locked outside trying to get in, but no, thank you. Not this
late.
Week.
He might be here yet.
Our next guest, where do you begin with our next guest? A two-time World Cup winner, 26 tests, 198 one day as a Bollywood actor.
He's a good player, very good player.
It just goes on. And, of course, gave us so many memories.
Well, that streaker... He could have done some injury to Andrew Simons there, because he seemed to run straight at him, and all of a sudden, he was on his back.
Well, Juicy, I remember walking up to you and had a very simple line. I said, mate, did you get him? And what was your answer, Jumbo?
See, I got him pretty well.
He was flat out like a lizard drinking, wasn't he, the poor bloke?
He was, but you don't realise, you might not realise, the people might not, but the reason I was... My contact with him was so severe, I would have thought, or good, was I'd run you out only probably half an hour or 15 minutes before that, and we were actually starting to work our way back into the game, which was a final.
And then this dingo ran out of the ground.
That was my last game for Australia, Roy. So thanks for stealing the front and back page pictures as I left the field. I was looking the next morning. All I saw was a bunch of afro curls and a naked backside on the front page. But anyway.
Roy, you made a few comments in the press this week about the possible culture in the Australian team. What did you mean by that?
Well, you and I played together, and I think culturally the whole game shifted. Obviously, it's become a lot more professional.
You got to turn up on time and all those sort of things.
Look, we can muck about here, but if you want me to answer it seriously,
I'm scared. Yeah.
I think that the genuine Australian people, they miss the characters of the game, and I understand the game's very serious these days, and there's a lot at stake, but no more than when we played. You know, we didn't play for Australia with any less passion than the blokes that play now. Just give us something. It doesn't have to be personal, but just a little something that people can find interesting.
Yeah, and Simo, you are the interview that continues to give, mate. And I was requested to go on the Today Show early in the week to talk about this, and I was unavailable. I was in a function, and I hate to say it, mate, you were second cab off the rank, but I did notice.
Gilly, just let me tell you this. It's a bad thing because I was at the Mount Isa Rodeo for 4 days, in case you couldn't tell. And I had to get up that morning to go and do this interview.
Oh. It's not your strong point.
Roy, you did beautifully. There was a line, as you say, you gave something of interest about the captain and how you found him, and you also showed that you've been watching closely in this contest about Australia needing to rebound, and you're following the scoreline really well. We'll just listen to it.
You know, and hopefully we can bounce back in this last game and draw things up, because we certainly don't want to see him go down to England here.
Roy, it's 3-1, mate.
I realised that as soon as I said it. And then Stefan Novak was carrying on, and I didn't really get a chance to try and clear that up, but I was probably best to try and let that slide anyway.
Well, we weren't going to let it, mate. It was gone.
Roy, what's interesting here is that this time normally on the show, Graham Swan has a segment called Swanee's Wrongin', and that is Swanee giving impersonations of other famous cricketers. I'd like you to hear an outstanding Jeffrey boycott. This is from Graham Swan. Have a listen to this one, Roy.
Hey, Doss. Matthew Waite. You're a disgrace, that player. Whatever happened to opening batsman defending the ball? Sound technique. Dancing down the wicket. First morning of an Ashes series, hitting Craig White for a straight six before lunch. Disgusting. I never watched him bat after that.
Now, Roy, maths might not be your strong suit, Roy, but certainly impersonations. We hear you do a bit of a boycott yourself.
Well, I do, actually. I do. Matty Aiden. I'll agree with Mr. Swan. He can be a bit of a slogger at times. Oh, he's brutal. He was. He's mucked. And the new ball needs to be respected. It's Ayuk still. Buckle up and buckle in for the long haul. And Matthew Aiden, you'd have 100 before lunch. Embarrassing.
That's pretty good.
No, that was solid. Good. Well done, Roy.
Well done, Roy.
He's brilliant. What a good sport. Andrew Simons, right here on Willow Talk with Gilly sitting in for Swanee, Matthew Hayden and Mark Waugh. Thanks for your time, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joseph.
No worries. See you, mate.
And up next, the boys will share their Ashes moments on Willow Talk. This is Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh, Adam Gilchrist sitting in for Graham Swan. I know we've had a lot of fun saying isn't how good it is without Swanee, but Swanee will be back on next week's show, but you're right, it's been very, very enjoyable.
Be pleasant.
Now, guys, Ashes moments. Please, the cricket fans are begging you to take us back to a better time. Let's start with Junior.
I'll go first. Well, I'm going to the Oval because the last test is at the Oval. And actually, we didn't have a great record at the Oval in my time. I think we only won the one test, and this was in 2001.
It can be a bit tricky to play the Oval.
Yeah, 2001. We won that series 4-1. But this particular test match, Justin Langer came in for Michael Slater, who got the chop from the selectors for the last test. And Alfie Langer came in and made a brilliant 100. And he actually got hit in the helmet and had to retire hurt at 104. Oh, he got hit in the helmet every second game, didn't he?
He did. He got hit in the helmet a lot.
Anyway, this test match was a great test match for Australia because we won by an innings and I think about 25 runs. Alfie made 100. I actually came in when Alfie got carried off. Do you think I should say I got 100 as well?
There we go.
I got 100. And Steve Waugh, remember the big hoo-ha with the calf injury, went into the game with his calf hanging off his right leg. And he had
to come back even if his leg was amputated because I captained the previous test and lost. So he had to come back.
And I batted with Tugger for... we both got hundreds, and he got 150. Cost me.
Hang on, he just mentioned the same 100 twice. Oh, another ding. Yeah. But you can't get 2 points.
Well, I should have
got
more than 120 because Tugger could not run between the wickets, Gilly. I think you would have batted with him for a little period of this game. And he got 150. His 100, remember, he dived in the crease and was on the deck, and he put his bat up. That was his 100. Warner got 11 wickets in the game, and we won by an inning. So
God, I love that time.
How good is that?
Take us back there, please. I love that. All right, Haydos.
Good times.
Mine's 2006 Ashes series. So I was having a bit of a tough trot, but I always thought SCG was a place where tough to win over the crowd. You blue baggers used to give the Queenslanders a hard
state of origin.
I got out, and I came up through the crowd, and a lady that would have been... Oh, she would have been 80 plus, I reckon. She was just giving me a fearful, fearful gobful. Just the F's, the whole, just you name every word that you shouldn't say as a kid or a minor, she was just launching at me. So I come in the change rooms, and as per usual, I've been consistent with this, so I was tearing up the change room. Anyways, I went out to the team manager, Steve Bernard, and I said to him, look, mate, surely this is not the standard that we need to sort of put up with. And he says, oh, look, Haydos, just go back in the dressing room, mate. It'll all settle down. Don't worry about it. So I did. I went back in the dressing room and tore it up a bit more, and then I came back out again, and I approached the security guard, and I said, look, mate, I just can't get over this. What you've got to do here is you've got to go out to this lady and at least get a membership number and a name and so forth, because I feel really, have some grievance. I just wanted a bit of – I wanted some fairness, Gilks.
You
that's right.
The poor old lady, hey?
Okay, so I write this very nice letter to the SCG Trust, just saying, look, membership on this date, and this is the incident. You know, I just want it, noted, and I'm happy to move on, but that's, that's sort of – this is where it's at.
Jesus, you're soft.
Maybe. Anyway, so I get a note back about 3 months later and said, look, on behalf of the SCG Trust, we sincerely apologise, and we've noted the complaint, but we have done a formal investigation, and we cordially want you to know that the lady that of membership number X and name this has actually been diagnosed with guess what syndrome? Tourette's syndrome.
Wow.
Well, how bad did I feel after
there we
all
go.
That?
Oh, wow.
That should have been in the other segment, shouldn't it?
That should have been Tell Me That's Something We Didn't Know. You would have won it. That was outstanding. You put that in the wrong segment. Well done, Haydos.
Trying to entertain,
Gilly, does your story involve sort of tittle-tatting on the elderly?
No, it doesn't. And I'll keep it short because Haydos hasn't left me much time, as usual. It's stories that just keep on going. And I am going to mention... the War Boys, and of course it's going to be Tugger, not Mark, but my favourite Ashes moment was, of course, Steve. I was at the other end when Steve hit that memorable century in his, it wasn't his last test, it was sort
Cinderella
of the
story,
his
mate.
Second last SCG test, but the four off the last ball of the day, the build-up, the crowd were there just screaming, praying for it. The second last ball of the day, I was on 46 not out, and I was on strike. And I actually considered trying to hit that ball for four to bring up my 50, but I suspect it wouldn't have been the most well-received 50 if I denied Stephen the chance to get on strike. Of course, he gets there, all the theatre, the drama, smokes it through the covers for four. I run down looking for the high five. Yeah. He ignores me totally.
Donuts.
And the only footnote to the story was that... where were you, Mark Waugh, when that happened? I know you were there to see him bring
up his
50.
I was at Harold Park Trots.
Junior had left.
I've seen you get plenty of hundreds, and he was going as slow as a wet week. I didn't think he'd get to 100, so I had to get to the trots. The first race in Harold Park was 6:30 or something.
It's a harsh
fair call,
cool,
but it was an amazing atmosphere. That was one of my favourite Ashes moments.
Yeah, nice story.
That's a pretty quick trip from the SCG across to the old Harold Park. It would have only taken you
on a Friday night.
Oh, the traffic.
Bad traffic.
All right, guys. Thanks so much to Gilly for sitting in for Swanee. It was almost too enjoyable. It was great fun.
Loved it.
Really appreciate it. Swanee does return next week. Thank you so much to all of our guests, including Casper, which was fantastic, Andrew Simons, Crash Craddock. We are back same time next week with Swanee in tow on Willow Talk. Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, Adam Gilchrist, this is Byron Cook. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
Later.